Tonight, the Texans schedule is released at 7 p.m. We have a Texans schedule release special. It's a big day. Tonight at 7, Sean, Rich, and former Texan Wade Smith have you covered. Listen on Sports Radio 610, Facebook Live, or the radio.com app. John McClain, when it comes to that schedule, what are the most important things you're looking for tonight?
First thing I look at usually are the AFC South games, and now because of the game against Jacksonville in London, I want to know when I'm going to London. They have some. I'm really intrigued by the trip to Carson, California, to see the Chargers in their soccer stadium, and see how many of the traveling Texans go there. Because as we've seen, when the Chargers play there, a lot of times, or most of the times, there's more fans of the other team than there. So I've never seen a game other than a preseason. I don't even know if I've seen a preseason game in over 40 years in a stadium that small. So I'm excited about that. And let's see, New Orleans, because New Orleans is always a fun trip. Tampa, I love Tampa. I haven't been there in a while. And so that's the ones I look at first.
The London game, I get a little angry about the London game just because the Jaguars have such an a home field advantage there, and that they've done the trip. They've done all – like I feel like we're being robbed of a Jaguars game where typically, all right, look, if you just take care of business, you're going to beat the Jaguars. Now they've got a new quarterback, and they're playing in London where they do every year, and they, like, they've
got the Jaguars fans.
They've got it nailed down. Right. The crowd is the crowd. You know, they're happy just to see football. That's actually usually a pretty I know it's supposed to be kind of the Jaguars' second home, but everybody there is more of a fan of football, like American football.
That's what it seems like.
So I don't worry about the crowd advantage. I worry about the fact that all those guys on the Jaguars team have done this trip every year, and they've got kind of the routine down pat. Whereas, like, your own team, you might have some guys out, you know, in the pubs and kind of trying to take in Big Ben and all that stuff a little too much.
So with that London game, the way it works is you have the bye week after the London game, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So what I'm wondering is, Seth, if you played for this Texans team on a day like this, do you have any preference for when the London game will be?
No. I don't. As far as players go, I don't know. Everybody always asks the players, like, when do you want the bye week to be? And I don't think anybody actually gives a damn other than, like, you have to give an answer. So you're like, I like it in the middle. I like it in the beginning. If I'm going to get injured, I would prefer for it to be whenever I'm going to be injured. That's my best answer for that. I think that if I had to go to play in London as a player, it seems like it'd be fun. Like, I'd look forward to that part of it. But it's also such a pain in the ass in terms of your body clock and everything. And in football, you get into such a routine and such a rhythm to where, like, a lot of times you don't even, like, I never liked Monday night games. I liked them for the fun of it and that I knew people were going to be able to watch me and everything, but, like, my family. But it's a pain in the ass.
Totally
screws
different
up
clock.
Your whole body clock, yeah. I don't know, John, what did you get a sense for when everybody went to Mexico, how they liked it?
They had no problem with it because it's a three-hour flight. They took care of them. You know, that they don't care about the stadium being a dump like a lot of people do, or how bad it was outside with people that had no clue what they were doing as far as bus drivers and things like that. And every player I know today would rather have the bye later. They don't like it early because they think it helps them recuperate when they're beat up. And remember, Indianapolis 3 years ago requested no bye after London. They wanted to do it later.
Hardos.
And I can't remember what they did afterward in that game.
I think they actually won. I want to say that they lost in London, but they actually won the next week.
You know, it's a good point, John, about how players might prefer a later bye week now because training camp has gotten so easy. The guys aren't beat up. It used to feel like you needed an extra week to recover from training camp before the season began. That's how stupid training camp was. But now guys don't have that issue necessarily. They're raring to go early in the year. Now
they're handling it. When the Cowboys played in London, they made them come all week and help promote it. They don't need to promote it now. So the Texans are going to take it like a regular season game. Media, we get one day with them. That would be on Friday. Then they'd have their walkthrough on Saturday. So
are they going to fly over late in the week?
Yeah.
I don't like that. The body clock, man.
Nobody goes early in the week anymore, and I think they'll arrive Thursday, and they'll be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
So a couple days went over early. They didn't?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
That's not what the league told me. They said teams don't do it anymore.
So Thursday is when they fly to London. Again, we'll find out at 7 p.m. tonight when the Texans will play in London. If you're just joining us and you had forgotten that, the Texans will play in London this year against the Jacksonville Jaguars. 7 p.m. is the Texans schedule release special with Sean Rich and former Texan Wade Smith.
I'm guessing they'll leave Wednesday night after practice, so they'll arrive Thursday morning.
Okay, that makes sense. Take the red eye and sleep on the plane.
Oh, that sucks.
I've taken that flight. You can sleep on that flight.
Did you get up and practice football when you got there?
No. But I felt like I maybe could have. Just kidding. John, we are right now 8 days away from the NFL draft, the biggest day of the entire offseason for the NFL and this Texans football team. Can we read into the guys that they have brought in for their visits so far this offseason? Because they've brought in, the Texans have, a lot of the names that you would think of. All these cornerbacks, all these offensive tackles, it's all the usual suspects that you would expect.
Considering those are their two primary needs, yes. They brought in, I think, a safety. Aaron Wilson does a great job for the Chronicle keeping up with that. And I think that he was talking about receivers, running backs they've also brought in. Now, one of the reasons you bring them in, because you can't work them out here, you just meet them.
Yep.
Remember when they drafted Deshaun Watson, one of the things they liked about him was when they took him around the building, he was great with everybody. He hit it off with O'Brien and the coaches, but when they took him into the cafeteria, a lot of the veteran players had been working out, and so they gravitated to him. He didn't gravitate to them, and they watched how the vets came over, wanted to talk to him, ask him questions. And I remember Rick Smith telling me when he scouted Watson in the championship game, Rick didn't sit in the press box. He went down low in the stands to watch him. But when he came out on the field for pregame warmups, to see how players gravitated to him, the way he acted, interacted with them, and that was something that it really impressed him. And
it's pretty impressive to pull him away from the McNairs like that.
So you see how they put emphasis on something like that, but what we don't know is who all they visited, who all they've worked out.
Yes.
And you can go do those visits up until right before the draft. You can't bring them in anymore. But, you know, Bill O'Brien can't do it now because he's got the off-season program. But if Brian Gain wanted to whip over to Florida to talk to Juwan Taylor, wherever he is, you know, you could still do that. But I think at this point, other than cross-scouting, and unless you find out some information at the last minute, you know, your board is just about set. Bill Belichick told a great story at a memorial for the late, great Joel Bugsbaum. And it's Bugsbaum, not Bushbaum. People think I'm mispronouncing it, which we did for a couple of decades, that Belichick got to respect Joel so much that he would call him the night before every draft, and he would go over his board with him. And if Joel suggested, Bill, I think you got this guy too high or you got this guy too low, he said that he would seriously listen, and most of the time he changed it. That's how much he respected him. But I think that's very unusual. You're changing it right at the last minute.
I have a prediction when it comes to the Texans pick at number 23. When I look at the list of names of guys they brought into NRG Stadium, I think it's a lock. Whoever they draft at 23 is somebody who has visited. Because I'm looking at these names, and it's Andre Dillard, and it's Cody Ford, and it's Greedy Williams.
They're not just bringing in, like, some teams will only bring in, they'll bring in mostly guys that are mid-round guys.
Yes.
That they're not, they don't know a whole lot about.
The Texans are bringing in guys, one of them they will pick at number 23.
They're crossing all their T's and dotting all their I's.
I agree 100%. Sometimes you look at guys when they were hurt at the combine, or you saw them at the Senior Bowl and they had an injury, you want to follow up with them and bring them in. Have your doctors look at them again just to see where they are. But the Texans, with the guys they brought in, I agree 100%. One of those guys is going to be a first-round pick, and there's a good chance one or two of them could still be there in the second round.
I'm feeling better and better about the depth of the offensive tackle class. And I think now I'm almost actually starting to get a little bit concerned that it's going to be too crowded to get meaningful reps if they draft. If they draft a couple offensive tackles, that's great. If they draft more than that, then all of a sudden you've got Chantrell Henderson, Matt Khalil, Julione Davenport,
two guys,
Lil Martinez Rankin, three rookies. Like, I don't know how you get enough reps in OTAs and training camp to figure out who the hell's worth keeping.
I bet they draft just one because they have so many other things they want to add. Like, they need two corners. If they just get one, they're going to be in trouble when you look at who they have now and who they're going to play, the receivers, the quarterbacks. To me, that's a bigger need than tackle, because at least they got people who started last year who could start at tackle.
So you think that cornerback is a bigger need than tackle?
I do, and because you got Jonathan Joseph going to be 35, Bradley Roby coming off a mediocre season at Denver, Aaron Colvin coming off a disappointing season here. Those are your top three corners.
It's a bigger numbers need, but what about just the flat-out biggest, most important number one thing in the universe?
Well, that would be keeping your left tackle
right,
number one, but you better get at least two more corners who can play.